Why work harder when you can work smarter? I mean, we're all looking for ways to make work and life just a little bit easier. Enter the Ford F-150 truck. It helps you get the job done in the smartest way possible. Have you seen the Pro Access tailgate? It improves access to the bed and cargo, which makes it easier to load in tight spaces. Think about the time and hassle you'll save with that feature alone. And I haven't even mentioned the mobile power source, Pro Power On Board. You can power up to 7.2 kilowatts outside your F-150. You're already thinking about all the ways you can put that to use, aren't you? See, I told you, smarter. Tough this smart can only be called F-150. Find your local Ford dealer at Ford.com. Pro Access tailgate available starting spring 2024. See owner's manual for important operating instructions. This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at Progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho.
Welcome to Talk is Jericho. It's the Pot of Thunder and Rock and Roll. And wow, the show's already sounding good. I'm listening to myself record this to make sure it's actually recording right on my Zoom. And I'm using my new Raycon E50 wireless earbuds to monitor myself. And they sound amazing. These things are really cool, very clear, great bass sound, fit right in my ears perfectly. Oh yeah, much sleeker than cumbersome headphones as well. So going for those Raycon E50s as I listen to how the Duff McKagan joke of the week sounds on these Raycons.
Hey, Chris Jericho. It's Duff McKagan calling you. I'm calling you from Snowmageddon. They're calling it here in Seattle, Snowmageddon. It's just snow, by the way. But we never get it up here, so Snowmageddon it shall be. Hey, listen, you know what's worse than ants in your pants? Uncle. Thank you very much. Right.
So Duff's joke sounds good on my new Raycon earbuds. Didn't make it any funnier, but actually I like that one though. Not ants in your pants, uncles. The old joke, right? So funny. Duff McKagan, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, traveling the world, always calling in the laughter every Friday here on Talk is Jericho, sharing his original jokes exclusively with all of you sexy beasts. Good or bad, you hear them here first. And if you're listening on your Raycon E50s, it makes them sound even funnier. Speaking of firsts, though, our guests today have a bunch of firsts between them. Let's see, Abilene Maverick was one of the first women to wrestle in China. She and Tessa Blanchard had a monumental match there. Abilene is also the first female wrestler to appear on the new WOW TV show on Access TV. And David McLean is here with Abilene. He's the creator of WOW. He's the creator of GLOW from the 80s also. The first to bring all female wrestling shows to TV in the 80s and again now in 2019. He and his partner Jeannie Buss, yes, the same Jeannie that owns the Los Angeles Lakers. They're partners in WOW, and you hear that story, how this all came together. WOW airs on Friday nights, and it happens to be tonight on Access TV at 9 p.m. Eastern. Access TV is the network that airs New Japan, and now they're airing Women of Wrestling. They've already been picked up for a second season as well. Congratulations to WOW. Let's hear the WOW story with creator David McLean and the top star Abilene Maverick right now on Talk is Jericho. Okay, so the hottest new show after 1 week is on Access TV, hottest new wrestling show, Women of Wrestling, WOW. David McLean is here and Abilene Maverick, the governor's daughter. The governor of what state? Are we allowed to ask that?
I would say the entire universe of WOW.
There you go. In the world of WOW.
Yes, in the world of WOW.
You're the governor of WOW. The governor of WOW. Yes.
But this is something that I've heard about for a long time, David. And it's interesting because we've got so much to talk about. Obviously, you were one of the creators or the creator of GLOW.
Yes.
Which is now one of the hottest properties on TV, again, because of the show on Netflix. And now you, of course, have started WOW. So what made you want to get back into the business again and basically do a new modern version of what you created 30-some years ago?
When I sold GLOW, and I never knew this until, you know, maybe a year ago when we brought in someone to help us build out our digital properties. And we went after him, and he kept saying, well, let's have some more meetings. I kept saying meetings, meetings. And after the third or fourth, he says, I'm in. I'm your digital guy. I'll help you build it from scratch. And this is the guy that created the headphones for Steve Jobs, this guy for, you know, the mobile phone years ago. And I said, how are you in? We haven't even discussed money yet. He says, I'm in because it'll be a success. I said, how do you know it's going to be a success? There's plenty of wrestling shows, and I've been doing this up and down many times. He goes, because you and your partner, Jeannie Buss, are on the same direct path, and the reason you're doing it is passion. And he said, if you have business partners that you don't have the same direction, it'll fail. And I was fortunate enough to sell Glow, and it turned into a comedy. And the wrestling at that time is in no capacity to even be look at it like today's wrestling. The athleticism wasn't there. But remember, back in the 80s, you only had, what was the biggest thing on? It was Jane Fonda videos.
And women's wrestling in the 80s in the States wasn't like it popular is now at all. Either. Right. It was, it was the Fabulous Moolah, who was about 55, 60 years old. That was kind of the top level women's wrestler back in those days, right?
There was no color. There was no pizzazz. There was no youth to it. There was no music to it. And so we changed the paradigm then. Then I sold it. But to answer your question, I always knew I was going to go back and do women's wrestling. I always knew, because I hadn't had my thirst quenched with what I really envisioned it. And to do that, numerous things had to come into play, into the blender, if you will, if we're at the bar, to make anything work as perfectly tasting. And the blessing is today's female wrestlers are well-trained, well-versed. You've got Abilene Maverick, who's been out on the wrestling circuit as Barbie Hayden for years. Mm-hmm. She's wrestled in Texas to Florida to all over the country.
China,
that's right, against Tessa Blanchard. Yeah. And so here she needed a platform to which she can now shine and be in the spotlight, and Access TV's providing it with a one-hour show every Friday night. And so it's even like Tessa Blanchard was watching yesterday, I think show number 3 that comes out in 2 weeks. And she just said, wow. And I said, what, why? Wow. You're not even on the screen. You're not even in this episode. And she says, I get it now why this is a valuable program. I said, why? She goes, you're threading my story throughout the hour. And she goes, that doesn't happen in my other wrestling because they've got the men to promote and their storyline and their feuds. This is something. And I looked at her and her face just lit up. So back to the question, I just always knew I was going to do it. And I got sidetracked because I'm so excited about the athleticism and the capabilities of the talent now. And that was the ultimate dream, to package it and put it on. So the women wrestlers are as big as Chris Jericho when he walks out there, and he steps into that ring.
So, Abilene, how did you get hooked up with WOW? Because like you said, you have been around to a lot of different places, you know, in the independent scene, but now you've kind of found a home as, you know, on WOW and as one of the faces of the company, et cetera, et cetera.
This is actually a very ironic way to even come into a company. I was suggested by other talent. So at the time, I know it's really cool because like whenever your peers are suggesting you and they believe in you, I think that that kind of brings you to another tier of respect, you know, in this business. You know that as well. You know, whenever your peers, you know, actually understand what you can bring to the table. And I was originally brought in as a tag team with Candice LeRae, which a lot of people don't know that unless they, you know, follow us on like wowe.com. They kind of see like the backstories and some of the, you know, the older episodes that we shot out in Las Vegas before we moved our home over to LA. And that was really how it started. And in fact, I was actually encompassing a different character. I wasn't even the character that I've developed into today. At the time, I was more on the realm of Farmer's Daughter. So it was a little bit more of a play into like I guess like the hokey side of, you know, Texas living and people who are country, because I did grow up in the country primarily. I actually was a ranch hand for the first part of my wrestling career.
Wow, there you go.
I was going to say, we didn't really stretch it.
Yeah, they did it.
You
yeah.
knew how to handle those horses and those vignettes. You were moving yes. the horses left and right.
Yeah, so I see exactly why they put me into that realm, because they were like, oh, this is perfect because this ties into her real life. And then it kind of just develops. And that's something that is very unique to WOW that other companies are not doing, is that they give you a lot of creative control, which I know you know how that is. A lot of companies do not give that to you, and they are open. They have their doors open, and they're open to suggestions of where you think the character can go. And I think they started over time realizing how eloquently I speak and noticing that I had a little bit more of a sassy undertone to the way that I present, you know, a lot of things. So I think that moving it into more of the governor's daughter just fit more of the attitude of, you know, who I was destined to become. So it was really cool how it all kind of just, you
but
know, it's like a snowball
your
effect.
Attitude.
What?
It
my,
fit your attitude.
It, yes, if it fit in my attitude. Like, that's what's so
there's
cool.
There's no stretch.
Yeah, is this is the most I've actually been my own character. Because, like, even as Barbie Hayden, it's different.
But that's always the way, that the best characters are your own mm-hmm. personality just turned up to 10.
Exactly.
That's how you get over. You can't play a character that you don't feel and don't
yeah.
know.
Because this is authentic.
Sure.
You know, it's really me. People see that, and they see it in the way you move and the way you present yourself and you talk and how you interact, everything. Like, they see it in your movements, and you can't fake that. So,
And that was, you know, you're kind of carrying on the tradition, David, from what you did in GLOW, where every character on your show is a character. That's something obviously that you very much believe in, because it was happening all the time with the original GLOW and then now as WOW and in WOW.
Yes, or personality or persona. And you take a wrestler, even with a name, Tessa Blanchard or a Chris Jericho, and, you know, even if you look at yourself, you've been able to transform your personality, your persona. And I think that's why you've, if you want to use the word, lasted so long, and you're in the eyes of the fans as authentic. And they believe in you when you come out there, because I think you are authentic when you come out. I think Tessa Blanchard is still a character. I was asked this, well, she doesn't have a character name. Well, hold it. What is her character? She's a badass.
Right.
And she kicks ass, and that's really her. And, you know, I was nailed by somebody saying, oh, it's going to be another GLOW with characters. Well, hold it. We went out and did a marketing survey before we started WOW. We took 3 years to do correct marketing, because you didn't need just another wrestling show on the air. And I didn't really want to do another women's wrestling rendition without it being spot on what the fans wanted. And we went out and met with fans in 12 different cities, went into their homes like this and sat and watched wrestling with them. And they said they wanted something where mom and dad could watch with the kids again. And they wanted a spotlight on the women. And they wanted the fun, F-U-N, back in wrestling. And from the response from the Access TV debut of WOW, we nailed it. We hit the fun back in wrestling. And I even have a text that I'm very proud of. I sent it to Jeannie Buss last night. A long-time wrestling fan. WWE, you know, WCW's long-time wrestling fan said, I took my 9-year-old daughter on Friday, and we went to watch WOW on Access, and I finally have a show to watch with her.
Oh, that's really sweet.
Now, when you say Jeannie Buss, this is the, she owns the Lakers.
Yes.
Right, so this is a high-powered partner that you have.
Yes.
How did you end up hooking up with Access? Because Abilene said that you guys were doing TV before Access.
We were shooting WOW events in Las Vegas to put on digitally.
Gotcha.
And to build our library. And it was important to us that we started to create the characters early, started to find out what worked, and build out all of our platforms first and own them. We could have gone in 5 seconds and bought our time on TV.
Sure.
But then we may not have owned everything. And she and I have a long-term vision that this is going to outlast us and be successful long-term. So that's how we started earlier in Vegas. We were shooting content then and putting it on digitally.
But now it's like you finally hit the big time with the Access deal.
Yes.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
So tell us about some of the other characters besides yourself, Governor's daughter.
Okay, so what's really cool about the show is obviously it's all women. So we hit the spectrum of all shapes, all sizes, women of all sorts of backgrounds. You're going to see a lot of, for people who do follow wrestling, they're going to see a lot of familiar faces. They are going to see the Tessa Blanchard. They're going to see, you know, Santana Garrett. They're going to see myself, obviously, as a, you know, encompassing a different character. You even have Kiera Hogan playing Fire. We are going to have, you know, Jessica Havoc coming in as Havoc. And there's a lot of these names that people do recognize and that actually have experience and something to bring to the table. You know, I think that was what a lot of fans were afraid of happening, you know, kind of like David was touching on earlier with them saying, oh, well, is this just like, you know, a remake of GLOW and like there's nothing, you know, to really sink your teeth into. And that's not true at all. You know, we do have some newcomers. We have new faces that people do not know because they are WoW originals. You know, like we have the Beast. And
who's a phenom?
Oh my gosh, the Beast is like literally a terrifying person. Like she's so just scary and huge and muscular and dominant, and it's really cool. And then we have, you know, like this voodoo character, and then we have like, you know, Steffi Slays, who's just like this sweet little innocent girl. You know, she's from Texas as well. And
Princess
she's
Aussie from Australia.
Yes, and we have Aussie, exactly. And Aussie has a little bit of experience as well on the independent scenes. Mm. So that's what's really cool, is it's a huge spectrum of WoW originals and women that people, you know, may or may not recognize from the independent scene.
Now, when you're talking about WoW originals, are these girls that are basically, for lack of a better term, coming in off the street and just training with you guys? Or
we created a training school. We put out advertisements, if you will, looking for talent that want to become wrestlers. 800 applied, and maybe 10 made it. And Selena,
that's amazing.
Selena Majors, who was Bambi.
Oh, I know her.
You know, yeah, Bambi? Yeah. Yep.
From Peggy, Tennessee.
Peggy Lee Leather. Yeah, Peggy Lee Leather.
I think she was at Smoky Mountain Wrestling when I was there. Yes. She had the female mullet.
Yes.
Selena's got the same
hair.
Still
has it, yeah.
So Selena is the
Kentucky
trainer.
Kentucky Waterfall, we called it.
Exactly. So Selena's the trainer. She moved out here from Georgia, and she's trained the wrestlers at the WoW Training Center. And, you know, they've just done a phenomenal job. And the athleticism, even when they step into the ring now, is light years ahead of what I did in GLOW days. Mm-hmm. That was Jane Fonda. Right. Today, there's not a female athlete anywhere today that's not the beneficiary of Title IX. They never heard no. They never heard they can't play on the soccer team, the baseball, the softball. And they're all very athletic. So that's the first thing you notice when you watch WoW. And then, of course, it's dedicated. So it's the mixture of independent stars, homegrown WoW stars. And we're going to look for more. The WWE as the performance center. What are they looking for? A new star. Someone that's not in wrestling today that they can find. It's got that special little it factor. Mm. And that's what we found with the Beast. She's just a phenom. I grew up in wrestling. I started working at 13 in
that's
the Midwest for Dick the Bruiser.
That's interesting. Yeah.
I started taking pictures. I worked with Bill Apter, all those guys when I was 13 years old. So I grew up in wrestling. Bobby Heenan is a friend. Rene Goulet is a good friend of mine. A lot of old timers. I was good friends with Chuck O'Connor, John Minton, John Studd. So my point is the mixture of the talent and getting new talent now, we're going to do that again. We're going to look for new talent to come to our training center this summer and find that little it factor with those people. Because I believe that's how you find them. You get them and you train them. They get into the sport at a young age. You know, Andre the Giant, when I saw him the first time and he stepped over the third rope, I mean, I looked up and I knew there's a phenom. Mm-hmm. Same thing happened when I saw the Beast.
That makes sense.
The Beast leaped over the third rope on day one in training, and I just went like this. And I said to Selena, that's going to be a star. Just instantly, you knew.
You know right off the bat.
Right off the bat.
Do you think when you mentioned that 800 girls showed up, it's because some of it's because, well, obviously women's wrestling as a whole is much more popular, but in this town especially because of GLOW and being such a hit that it has been, do you think that kind of helped people going, well, I want to get involved in this?
Yes, there's no doubt. Even the Beast, when she sat in the front row, we were bringing them in at about 15 people at a time to interview them and to tell them what WOW was. And I walked in and she started with a tear in her eye. And I looked down and said, what's wrong? You need a tissue? What's wrong? And she says, you're David McLean. You're David McLean. I said, yes, so? She goes, I watched you on TV when I was a kid. That's when I knew I wanted to be a wrestler. I watched GLOW. So it influenced somebody. Yeah, you know, Jeannie Buss, everyone says, how come the owner of the Lakers is in women's wrestling?
Yeah, how come? That's your question.
And
why is that?
Two reasons. When she was younger, her dad exposed her to comic books. He gave her Wonder Woman and Supergirl with the message, you can be anybody and anything you want. Don't ever let anyone deter your dreams. And her father was giving her the comic books. She's got a collection in her house that'll fill half this room.
I was gonna say she has even photos in the Supergirl outfit that she just posted on Instagram.
An old boyfriend sent her that. Actually, his wife. I shouldn't be telling all this backstory, but she was posed at 17 or 18 as Supergirl in an outfit. So she always envisioned, you know, superheroes. She's the one that came up with the tagline, they are the superheroes, WOW superheroes.
I'm learning things sitting here.
But her dad knocked on the door and said, come down. I'm going to want you to watch a sporting event. What for, Dad? Because sports is going to change in the next hour. And it was Billie Jean King beating Bobby Riggs in tennis. So Jeannie remembers that, how she had a dad that, one, said you can be anything, and how women's sports was going to change. And she watched Cyndi Lauper, Captain Lou Albano, the WWE's Moolah with Wendy Richter event in 85. Mm. And she was in high school, and she remembered how fun it was and how exciting it was to watch that event because there was a woman involved. Mm. And then women's wrestling went away. Mm. And it was back to its old days with Moolah and all that. And so she and I knew each other. We've been friends for almost 30 years. You're a Canadian. We started the Roller Hockey League.
Wow. Okay.
We started international roller hockey and with Walt Disney and everyone, and we became partners in that. So when I asked her to come to a WOW event, she wouldn't come. And she thought it would be low class oil or something. She wasn't going to.
Yeah, Jello wrestling.
Jello wrestling, or I hate
that's
to say
that's my family
it,
thinks too.
Similar to what was being displayed on WWE at that time. So she said, "Okay, I'll come for 5 minutes just to support you, but I'm going to leave early." 1 a.m. She's down in the locker room with Peggy Leather, Thug, Selena, the wrestlers, and she comes out and goes, this is the greatest thing. This is exactly what I always dreamed of. Live superheroes. Mm. If this was around when I was 9 years old, David, I'd be all over this.
Wow.
How do I buy this? I want to own it. I'm going to make these girls superstars. We're going to put them on TV and everything. It was instant. So isn't it funny? We mentioned before the father taking his 9-year-old daughter Friday night to watch WOW.
No, hey, I get it. I totally get it.
Her dad knocked on her door when she was 9 years old. And now we have a new evolution of women's wrestling with WOW Women of Wrestling. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen to that 9-year old whose dad knocked on her door in 20 years?
Yeah, she might come up with something that we aren't even thinking of right now.
Right.
And that's what's so exciting about it.
When you said, Aileen, that your parents or your family thinks that you're laughing with Jello wrestling and stuff, how was it when you told your family that you were going into the wrestling business or that you're in the wrestling business?
Oh man, it was brutal. I mean, like, absolutely brutal. So a little background on me is I played softball as a catcher for 11 years. I was in dance. I was a straight A student. I was a complete nerd. I was in art. I had a scholarship to actually to go dance at a school, and I wanted to become like a Rangerette and then eventually a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader. That was like the ultimate goal my family had for me and for myself as well.
Right.
And when I told them this, you know, this was my senior year of high school, my last semester, I was like, you know what? My boyfriend snuck me, without y'all knowing, to a wrestling show, and I fell in love with that, so I'm going to go ahead and do that. And they were just like, what do you mean? And literally 3 days after I graduated high school, like I graduated on a Friday, the following Monday, I actually started training when I was 18. And what's crazy is my family kind of disowned me, to be honest. I know they're going to listen back to this and probably be like, no, we did. Yes, they did. Yeah, they did. And my dad and I actually met at my cousin's graduation party. And he said, you know what? I've given this a lot of thought. I'm only 52 years old. And my one regret in life is that I didn't travel the world. I never went and saw anything. I never really got out of my bubble. And he was like, do this wrestling thing. He was like, obviously, you want to do it. You know, this is, you know, a passion of yours. You've come up with out of nowhere. And, you know, he was like, do it, become this famous wrestler on TV and travel the world. And I'm going to travel with you. I'll be your manager and I'll come see the world with you. He was like, so if you can promise me that, then, you know, this is okay by me. And I was like, okay, got it. And with his green light, I was like, okay, you know, I'll do this. And then unexpectedly, a few weeks later, he actually passed away.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Yeah. So it was a very strange turn of events, but on the same token, it really proved to me exactly what he just said. You know, you really do need to get out there. You need to experience life and experience the world and, you know, really see things for what they can be. And you never know when your time is up, you know. So I you know, jumped into this 110% and became really good friends actually with my grandfather after my dad died, you know, kind of naturally, because it was like I needed someone to fill that void, I guess, in my life. And what's so funny is I wasn't allowed to watch wrestling, you know, when I was younger, because my family was like, no little girl is going to be watching this. This is severely inappropriate, because this was during the Attitude Era, right. Mind you. You know, so they were like, no, you're not going to watch this. And my grandfather, you know, speaking of him, he's never been able to watch me wrestle because he can't travel. You know, he's elderly and he can't get around. And on Friday night, I actually sat in his living room and watched the premiere of WOW, you know, on Access. Yes. And so he finally got to see me. And it was just so cool, because then on top of that, I was sitting with my nieces and my nephews and my sister, and, you know, they were able to watch this. And I never had a moment where I had to tell them to look away. I never had to explain anything. You know, everything was appropriate for all levels. My sister was entertained, the kids were entertained, and my grandfather as well. So, it was just so cool, because it was like a dream come true letting him, you know, finally see me, you know, finally after all, like after 10 years.
It's amazing how just being on TV now legitimizes everything.
It does.
Yes.
You know, Barbie's doing her little wrestling thing. And then suddenly you're on national TV on a national channel. It's like, what? Really?
Yes.
Come gather around.
Exactly. Yeah. He wants those bragging rights. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he wants to call up his friends and be like, so, did you watch my granddaughter?
That must be cool for you, though. Like I said, it's the first time, maybe you've been on a national TV before, but like as a real star on the show.
Well, now I'm actually a mainstay. I am one of the contracted, you know, main roster characters.
Right.
And, you know, something that finally turned my mom around in wrestling was whenever I started working for WOW back when they filmed in Vegas, because she saw a company that believed in me as much as I believed in me. Mm. And that's what turned it around for me. Like the first like 4 years of wrestling, she and I really didn't even speak to one another because she was so mad still about like me doing this. Mm. And then she finally saw a company that, you know, believed in women and treated us as equals and pushed us to be superstars. And then she was like, okay, now I get it.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you watched the Glow series on Netflix? Have you seen it?
I've seen bits and pieces of it. What's really funny is I feel like I've seen it more in happenstance rather than like actually putting it on, because I will be traveling. And the first time I ever saw it, actually, I was sitting next to a stranger on the plane, and he had it playing on his tablet. And I was like, oh my God, this is so funny, because I was flying to film for WOW. And so I kind of leaned in and I was like, hey, can I have one of your headphones and watch with you? And he was like, yeah, that's fine. And we're sitting there watching. And it was like kind of like as I got off the plane, I started then explaining to him what I was doing and where I was going, because I wanted to sit and enjoy and watch the show, you know. And it was really cool too, because then I got to see like Awesome Kong and stuff. You know, she's on there.
Right.
I even saw Joey Ryan was, you know, had a little bit on there. Yeah,
Carlito's been on it.
Yes.
Chavo is a trainer.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's a trainer.
And so it was really, really cool for me personally, because I was like, oh, I know these people. You know, so like, yeah. That's what I loved about Glow as well, is that they even stay true to the roots of wrestling and like had real wrestlers come in, you know. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, this is just such a good vibe. Everybody has such a good vibe here.
Have you watched the show?
Oh, yeah.
Because that guy is you, right? The
not
guy.
Not the director. That's the director.
No, the commentator guy whose mom was, that's
Sebastian,
supposed to be basically you. Yeah.
But we didn't have any cocaine and drugs or little machines.
But that's more flashy.
They can testify. I basically drink a little wine and maybe a beer.
We kind of joke about it sometimes. We're like, he's such a lightweight. Like, it's cute.
I can't hang with the after party.
Did you know that they were filming? Like, so you, what you're saying is that you sold Glow years ago.
Yes.
Gotcha.
And so the owner that purchased it for me provided it to a talent that was in Glow, and she licensed the rights to them. And the two ladies that started it saw the documentary that was on. There was a documentary on Glow that where Mount Fiji was sick.
Yeah. And it was an amazing documentary.
Yes. And why was it? It's because they captured in the documentary the sisterhood of those ladies that participated in this unique business of professional wrestling. I think that still holds true today. And I think that's why so many of the wrestlers, independent and otherwise, gravitate toward WOW, because we're like a family and it's a sisterhood for them. And I totally respect what they do in that ring. And go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, even on, so that happens behind the scenes. That's something that like people in the wrestling world know. But then even on screen, it shows as well, because it's very encompassed. Like, it's the world of WOW. And they see how we all like run into each other, you know, backstage and things like that. And they see how we're all integrated, you know, kind of. You know, not, it almost seems like it's not on purpose. You know what I mean? Like, we kind of just bump into one another backstage. And I think that really excites people, because they see that, you know, we are actually together. We are, you know, filming things together and training together and doing all of these things like as a family. And it shows on screen as well. So it's really cool how it's
not just
behind the scenes.
And so they went to Jenny Cohn, who produced The Orange is the New Black. And so the three of them created that. And I met the director that plays the director in it, Mark Maron.
Yeah.
And we were up at the Comedy Store, and we totally just ran into each other. I was coming out of the kitchen, and he was going into the restroom. And we literally just ran into each other. And he looks up at me, and I look down, and I said, hey, nice to meet you. You did a great job. And I said, I'm David McLean. He wouldn't go in the restroom. He goes, David McLean, how do I know that name? And I said, think a little harder. And then he looked at me, he says, you're the guy from Glow. And I said, yes, why don't you know that? Didn't you watch some of the early episodes? He said, no, I purposely would not watch Glow, because I wanted to take the script and just get into the character. And I said, well, you're great at it. And he goes, that's why I think I am. Because I really lift from the script what's in there. And he goes, but I did know the name. And he goes, he says, that's registered, because he hadn't seen my face.
Right,
it was the
right.
name. He stopped. And so we had a great time talking about it. And he used a word that Alison Brie used after the Golden Globes. And she's hired a trainer for season 3 of Glow. And she said how it was... He said it was intoxicating to do it and fun. She used the word, it is so empowering to get into that ring and do that. Even though we're doing it for a show, and we don't have a real live paid audience where Abilene gets to go out and get instant gratification. And you do too when you walk down that ramp and into the ring. You instantly know, do you have those fans in your hand? Mm-hmm. And she just used the word, it's empowering, after the Golden Globes. And I that word really resonated this time, because here's an actress who's not a wrestler, but just playing the wrestler, she's intoxicated by it. Hmm. So hats off to them. They've done a great job, and it's coming back for season 3. And I think that's one of the other main ingredients that went into the blender to get WOW to where it is today.
I agree.
It's on Access.
I agree.
It's not one thing. It's a lot.
Yeah, I think that popularity of that show definitely helped revive the concept of what you're doing.
It wasn't taken as a joke anymore, mm-hmm. from TV executives.
Right, mm-hmm. right. Was it originally like in 1987 or whatever when you were first pitching it?
It was tough. Every meeting you went to was at Oil Wrestling. It was very tough.
Wow.
How did you finally explain and get it? Because I remember, like, I grew up in Winnipeg, Canada. We used to watch it every Saturday or whatever it was, you know?
No doubt.
Syndicated all around North America, maybe around the world. I don't know.
One of my most fun times, because after I sold GLOW, I went back to do some announcing and WCW would use me. I was up in my hometown and they had just started to bring, NWA wrestling there. So Ric Flair's up in the locker room and I'm walking by, and he may have known my face, maybe because I took pictures when he was with Crockett. I would go over to Cincinnati Gardens and take pictures. But as soon as I walked up the locker room and I'm carrying my tux to go Ric Flair looks up and goes, "Holy shit, that's the guy from GLOW. That's the guy." And Ricky Steamboat says, "That's David McLean." And Sting knew me because he was friendly with two of the GLOW girls. And Ric Flair goes, "Man, I watch that and I get in my hotel room all the time." So that was a big compliment that the talent was watching it, because they'd be in different cities bored at the hotel and it would be on either daytime, morning, or night, depending on the market and syndication.
It was campy, but that was the 80s too, though.
Very campy.
You know, but it was fun to watch. Being a wrestling fan and just wanting to watch anything that happened in a wrestling ring, it was cool. I mean, it was different from what was going on in WWE, which is why it was a success, which is why WOW is a success right off the bat, because mm-hmm. it's different from everything else that you're seeing.
Yes, an alternative program.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't want to compete with those companies. You want to do your own thing.
Well, you can't compete with WWE.
That's right.
They're the biggest. I mean.
Well, and that was actually in an interview I did earlier. Someone said something about like, are y'all, competing with WWE? And I said, we're completely different spectrums. Mm-hmm. We're different beasts in this. You know, I said, yes, we want to compete in terms of like viewers, and getting wrestling fans over to us, of course. I said, but we're two completely different products, so you can't really compare like apples to oranges in this case, because, we're a very like fast paced, vibrant show, whereas when you watch like the WWE product, it's a little bit more like, a little like I don't want to say grungy, because that's not the point I'm trying to make here. But, it's just different. There's a different air to it where, we're like more fun and light and, you're really sinking your teeth into like backstories and characters, whereas with WWE right now, it's like, a lot more of just, okay, what's happening right there in the ring.
Sure.
Not
as much character development, mm-hmm. or more straightforward.
Exactly.
They almost have so much talent, so much, an abundance of it between their 15 hours a week in program. How can you actually spend that quality time? Mm-hmm. On the
There's
roster.
Only so many, right. so much real estate you have in a 2-hour show. Or
exactly.
3-hour show.
Yes.
Do you write the shows, David, or what's your?
Well, as Abilene said earlier, we have a lot of creative ideas and platforms that the talent brings and comes to us with, and so Selena Majors, if you will, is our head creative person, and everything gets run through me or by me. But we listen a lot to the talent. Hmm. We don't even come up with one character. We have two new performers that are going to come in season 2, and they've been in training for a year now. We don't have their names yet, and it's been almost 9 months, because we want to really nail it correctly on who they are. I don't want to just come up with a name, and that's who they are. I've watched, let's just take... you know, we go back to the word character. Who's one of the most famous characters of WWE on a pure character platform? Got to be The Undertaker. Mm-hmm. I mean,
absolutely. Know,
people mm-hmm. actually buy the pay-per-view or buy
right.
the network now to see him come back. Mm-hmm. They're that big of a fan of that character. And so we want to spend the time to get it right. I look at, I even look at The Rock. He developed into The Rock. Mm-hmm. I look at Stone Cold when he started down, I think, with Jarrett and everything. He developed into Stone Cold. So we're taking the time to nail the creative by really spending quality time with the talent. I don't mm-hmm. want to rush something out just because we think of some great idea.
Right, like we were saying, it's very authentic to who we are and yeah. you know, real aspects of our life or what, you know, we can come across as being natural.
The disciplinarian's another wrestler in our organization. Yes. And she's a real high school teacher in Orlando, Florida. She teaches high school. Mm. And so when I found that out, I said, you got to become the disciplinarian because these kids need some discipline. And her manager, if you will, was an assistant for me. She's named Samantha Smart. Well, she went through college 4 years, straight A student on a tennis scholarship. Mm. And, you know, she's Samantha Smart because she really is the valedictorian of her class for 4 years.
Do you come up with some ideas as well, Abilene, for what you're doing? And
yeah, we definitely, it's really nice because they'll kind of come to us or we can come to them, you know, and they're like, hey, you know, what do you think on this? Or, hey, we're thinking of this person. What do you think fits with them? And they even give us time to kind of think of it, you know, and we can, you know, snowball ideas with one another. And then I know that in a lot of cases, I mean, even me being brought in, for instance, you know, I was kind of the idea or notion of another wrestler. So we definitely will. We're kind of like the eyes, you know, for them, like out, you know, out in the like the real world, out in the jungle of the indies, you know, because we get to see it firsthand.
And I'm going
to
interrupt you. You were living in a hotel in Long Beach, California.
Yep.
And Abilene came out with her boyfriend, Preston, and they like to eat ice cream. So I learned that they like that ice cream and
it's
they
like our
date
night thing.
Yes. So Abilene's boyfriend, there was a mix up in their cars, a limousine. This will all be coming out in episodes of WOW
yes.
shortly. So I don't want to spill too many beans. But what you see in WOW with Preston, Chloe Hertz, who was a girlfriend of Rob Van Dam's. Everything you see in that is exactly how it is in life.
Yeah.
Because Preston, Chloe was flirting with them. There was ice cream involved. There were limousines involved.
The rats.
There were ring rats that Abilene brought in from Texas. That
these are
like
men, by the way. The ring rats are men, by the way.
Yeah, you know, the rats.
Yeah, sure.
We flipped the script. And it's all out of their real life that we brought that story together and put it on TV. And that's why it resonates and works so well.
Yeah, because then people can go back on our social medias and they'll see pictures of us like doing this together or, you know, whatever it is. And then right. people are like, oh, this is real. You know, so then people connect to it better, you know. And who doesn't love ice cream?
Wow. that's the realism.
Right.
Really made you integrate what you are really in your wrestling persona.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I believe social media has taken the curtain back, if you will.
Yes.
And lets you see the
Well, it definitely has. And you can use it to your advantage or to your detriment. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to see Braun Strowman on there, you know, fishing or you know, getting a nipple ring one time. It's like, that's not kind of the...
It's not his persona.
The idea that you want to see. But you got to be smart about that,
yeah,
you know?
That's right.
You really do.
Exactly.
Speaking of real life stuff, I wanted to ask you, you mentioned China, mm-hmm. and I know that you and Tessa had the first women's match ever in China. How did that come about? And tell us about that experience.
Yes. Okay. So, and I know that you can attest to this as well, is whenever you hear these things are going to happen, you kind of don't believe it.
Never
you're like,
believe it.
Yeah, you never believe it.
It's
until...
wrestling. It never happens.
Exactly. Until you see it in ink or you are literally on the plane and you're on the way there. You don't believe it. And what's funny is there were so many setbacks anyway. Like you know, our plane got screwed up. So we sat at the airport forever. We ended up landing in the wrong place in China. Once we got there, the government officials were trying to shut it down.
Yes,
because they didn't understand what it was. They had no idea. And they didn't want us coming over there and tainting the minds of, you know, the people. So they had us put on a seminar the night before.
Really?
Yes. We had to walk them through and tell them everything we were doing and show them physically how we did it, why we did it. And if we did not get their approval, we would not have even had the show. They wouldn't even let us sell tickets.
But did they not understand what was going on when you came over there?
No. I mean, it's like they said they did, but they really were just kind of toying with us, like, once we got there. I think for even for them, it became real all of a sudden, you know? And what's crazy is there were thousands of people that were there, and we sold those tickets in that day of the show. Because people were so excited to see it.
And did people buy them, or did the government make them go?
Oh, no. People actually bought them. No, wow. I think the government was actually trying to shut it down. They didn't want it to happen. So that's why they only gave us the day to sell the show, you know, to sell the show.
What company was it?
Oh, my God. I think this was with NWA.
So was there, like, lots of guys in the show as well?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, wow. So there ended up being only two women's matches. It was funny because, you know, the other two girls were like, well, we want to go on later on. You know, we want to be a little more of, like, the main event. And me and Tessa were like, we want to make history, if that's cool with everybody. Yeah, so we're going to go out first. Yeah. And so
I love that.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? Because we went to China in, I believe, 2015 or 16, and there was no women's matches allowed.
Yeah, and that was
so
the year we went.
Must have been after that. Yeah.
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 Yeah. That was about the year that it happened. Was I think it might have been 2015. In fact,
yeah, this was earlier than that. Yeah, actually, you're right. It was about 13.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Yes. Yeah, so y'all were there like right before that. And that's crazy. Yeah,
not allowed. No, because we even had some girl. I remember Eve Torres was with us because we had gone to Japan first, then zipped over to China, and she was just there hanging out because they weren't on the show.
Wouldn't allow her to wrestle.
Yeah, wouldn't allow her to wrestle. So you guys, that's kind of broke ground. And I wonder what made them change their minds.
I mean, they saw me. So I'm joking. Maybe. I mean, they literally did, though. They literally had us come out and, you know, practice our things. And
so what did you have to do? Like, go over your match and show them this is, like you said, a body slam? Or?
I'm talking like it was full on. Like, we had somebody in the ring who was saying, we're going to show you a headlock. This is a wrist lock. Mm. This is a body slam. And, like, we had to show them, like, verbatim, like, things that we, you know, could or couldn't do. Yeah, it was crazy. They did give us a little bit more free rein, like, once the show actually, like, you know, was put on. They did say, oh, you know, we trust you. We think that you did, you know, we think this is great, everything. And we're like, oh, thank God. Mm-hmm. You know, because if there was one thing they didn't like or that looked too violent, because I think that's what they were afraid of, is that it would look too violent.
I know when we went there, they were scared, like you said, that the crowd was going to break out in a riot.
Right.
So we weren't allowed to do anything on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember I wrestled Rey Mysterio, and it's like, you know, no dives or...
Which is like...
Yeah, baseball slides.
So the government sets the parameters.
Yes, and it was like watching, like, and it was interesting because the arena had hardly any people in it because the government bottled the tickets and wouldn't give them out because they were scared of the riot. Mm-hmm. But there was one table of dignitaries. It looked like a James Bond movie. They were like with bunting on the table, just sitting there watching. It was very strange.
Yep.
Very strange.
They were at ours too. Yeah. So I totally understand. I was like, am I going to get assassinated after this? Or like, what's happening?
Like the Rocky versus the Russian where they were up there.
That's exactly what it is.
Yes.
You know, and we since went back a couple years ago, and then I think I remember Sasha had a match. The girls could wrestle. It was in an arena with darkened areas and people all around. But that first time was not, like you said, you're not... Welcome, but we'll let you
try. Almost previewing the event.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So this must have been happening with you guys as well.
Yeah, it was really cool. And I ended up returning to China this past year. And of course, then it was like, oh, no big deal. Hey, guys, welcome back.
Back,
you know,
yeah,
we're just back
they
in China.
Things have changed. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. What's funny is it was with NWA again, was who I went with this time again. So I don't know. I have a history with them, apparently.
So, David, when you're talking about WOW, and do you tape monthly, or is it
no? All right, we took the model that Access TV rolled out with New Japan Wrestling. They took New Japan Wrestling and said, let's put it on, let's see how it goes, let's see how it develops. And they rolled it out slowly, even with old programming. And then, as you see, last year they did New Japan Live from Long Beach,
right?
Live, and it's become very successful and popular. And so the idea was, let's start with 8 episodes and get the feedback from the fans and then go back into production. And then my goal, when they said, what do you want, David? I said,
We're not going live yet. I can tell you that's not happening for a year or down, way down the road, maybe year two or three. And I said, we got to make a great looking product, one that the fans like and they respect. My goal is financially, business-wise, we've got to shoot a minimum of 26 episodes. That's a magical number to go internationally. And our company is going to take those episodes and start selling. We're going to be at NAPTI just this month, but I held that off, so we'll probably go to MIP next. But
talking about to sell worldwide?
Yes, to sell worldwide. So, you know, because it's not my first rodeo, we're going slowly, methodically. We're in partnership with Mark Cuban, Access TV. We're going to do this very, you know, correctly and not rush it out. So our next TV tapings are either in March or no later than April 15th. And I've got to pick the date probably within the next 15 days.
Where do you shoot?
We'll do it here in Los Angeles still. I don't think until the events and program are on television more, there's no way we're going to make the mistake and go out touring. That ain't going to happen.
That's smart, though, you know, because a lot of people do make that mistake, and that's what kills you.
Kills you.
That's the money trap. You know, to keep it on TV, I think is a good idea.
Just the lighting alone. You know, I watched what WWE does when they come here for Monday Night Raw. And some people ask, God, they had a Saturday night shows, the Sunday night big event, and then Monday night was their show, and they shot another one on Tuesday. Well, heck, I went over and I looked at all those trucks they've got. How many 18-wheel semi-trucks are they moving?
So many.
A dozen at least?
At least. I thought there might have even been 18. And just to hoist the lighting, when we did the WOW in syndication years ago, our lighting bill to move in and out of that forum with union labor, it was over $100,000 a night coming in and out.
Right.
So there's a business side to wrestling, and luckily I've done it, and we're going to do this one smart, methodically. And as I said earlier, Jeannie Buss and I, we have a goal that this outlasts us. So we're in no rush. We're going to do this just correctly.
You're building it. Building it for the future.
Yes, we're building a brand that's going to last.
Do you still work other shows as well?
Yes, I do. So that's actually something that comes up a lot with, you know, a lot of people are curious about that. But WOW does allow us at this time to work for other companies, especially in my case, because my character, Abilene Maverick, is exclusive to WOW. Now, as with the Barbie Hayden character and that whole, you know, that whole deal, that's completely excluded from everything I do with WOW. So Barbie Hayden goes wherever she feels like going and doing whatever she's doing. But no, my home obviously is with WOW, but that is with, you know, the Abilene Maverick character. So otherwise, yes, I do still work like the independent, you know, circuits and, you know, shows here and there. And then I can kind of just do what I want as Barbie Hayden. As
we had to think about that. And companies, even new ones that are buying the talent, there's, you know, there's multiple reasons why they do, and they put you under an exclusive contract. We wanted to put you under an exclusive agreement for our WOW brand and world, if you will, the WOW world. But we recognize to do this correctly, there's no way we were going to be able to financially or fall into the trap of doing live events to keep them working, be able to sustain allowing an Abilene Maverick as the character she's been in wrestling for 10 years to just die. We just couldn't do it to them. So they are allowed to go wrestle independently where they can. And that's why we have to set these dates so far in advance. So we are aware they need to make a living. And I think that's what's also great about some of the independent wrestlers today in the marketplace, that they're not tied up. If they're not with WWE in one company, they can still go out and make a living.
Sure, it's a different world now.
That's right.
You don't have to be in WWE to make big money and to
have presence.
Exactly. That's something that I always have to like explain to people, because almost everyone in my world, in my life, has no idea about wrestling. So I have to really like tell them what's going on. And they're like, well, if you're not with, this was, of course, this was before WOW debut. Mm-hmm. So now I've got that. And I'm sure. I'm on TV, so shut up.
but you still get people like that. You mean like Hulk Hogan type stuff? Like, well, 30 years ago, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, but yeah, they're like, yeah, WWF. And I'm like, yeah, sure. Yeah.
But people just don't know. And that's the brand name. That people think wrestling, they think, okay, you know, think soda pop, you think Coca-Cola, right?
Exactly. People just don't, the people that are not in the wrestling world don't understand that it's an entire universe full of things, and people don't have to be with one company or exclusive to one thing to make a living anymore or to be successful at this. You know, I pulled up some people actually from, you know, like the Japan area or even from the UK for my mom, because she didn't quite understand this either. And I wanted to explain to her how this works. And I said, you see, you know, X, Y, Z, these people, I said, they've never been signed to anything over here, and yet they make a living and everyone here knows them. And she was like, oh, I didn't know that's how that works. And I was like, yes, you can do, that's what's so exciting about wrestling, is that you can, you know, work for multiple companies and brand yourself with them and be recognized with them. And the fans understand. And that's what
that's
I love.
That's the key. The fans have matured.
Yes.
And they get it.
They do.
We haven't even had one question with fans from that knew Barbie Hayden. Understanding she's Abilene Maverick in the WOW world.
Yeah.
And when they come into our social media, they come into our website and they're reading and looking at it, they know that's the governor's daughter.
Yeah.
And they're the fans are sophisticated enough today.
Makes sense. You know, if you're an actor, you can play different parts in different shows and people know it's still Brad Pitt doing this role or that role.
Yeah.
Whatever it may be. When you think of the legacy of GLOW, I mean, very influential when, like you said, it was very difficult at first to sell it and kind of came and went. But now, 30 years later, with the documentary and with the show, it seems like it's getting a lot more respect now than it ever did when it was on.
Yes, there's no doubt about that. Mm. There's no doubt that the documentary that you saw and you liked it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Lisa Moretti worked in WWE when I was there.
Yes.
What was her name there?
Ivory.
Ivory, yeah, exactly.
She was.
I didn't know that she was in GLOW.
She was the second GLOW girl that I picked.
Wow.
I picked one named Hollywood first, then Lisa went and did a move, and I said, you're in next.
Yeah.
And Mondo Guerrero was the trainer at
right.
that time.
Which is so funny that Chavo Guerrero, his nephew, is the trainer of the show.
The Iron
Man. Yeah. Their niece, Shaw Guerrero, mm-hmm. Eddie's daughter and Vicky's, is our ring announcer.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, she's
I was
fantastic.
At a Lucha Underground taping. I'm backstage with Eric Van Wagen, and I said, whose voice is that out there? Whose voice is that? I'm back in the back room having a beer, and he says, oh, that's the new announcer for the last two episodes. And I said, what's her name? He said, Shaw. He didn't tell me the last name. He just said, oh, that's Shaw, just like that. So I walked away, but in my mind, I said, God, that voice. So I walked out into the Lucha place, and I saw this brunette in the ring. Still, I had no idea who she is. 4 or 5 months later, I call up Eric. I said, hey, who was that announcer again at Lucha I saw? I want to put the cast together for WOW, and I want to hire a new announcer. He goes, oh, you're not going to do it anymore? I said, no, I'm done. I got to hang up the microphone. And I said, I want that person that I heard. He says, get your phone number. It's Shaw Guerrero. I said, what? He said, yeah, Shaw Guerrero. I said, she's a Guerrero? He said, yes. I'm so happy about that. And I tell that story because she got the job, not because of her last name.
Because of her voice, yeah.
Her voice got it. And I called her up and I said, here, who I am. And she said, oh, my God, I can't believe this. My uncle started with you and GLOW. My other uncle's the trainer in GLOW. And you're calling up to hire me? I said, yeah, you're the new voice.
That's crazy. It's interesting because I know she wrestled for a while. And it just wasn't for her.
Yes.
But it's awesome that she's still in the business. You know, the Guerrero name continues on.
That's right. I just love the story. And she is great. And once again, you see her passion in the ring.
Mm-hmm. It's in her genes. It's in her blood.
Yeah, it brings that legacy. It brings that nice legacy to
WOW. Well, it's like I was talking with Tessa earlier. Like, it's a third generation performer.
Right.
You know, she didn't get into WOW because of her last name. Bambi, who's friends with George South, kept telling me, hey, you got to check out this girl named Tessa Blanchard. And I said, we're not going to hire this girl, Tessa Blanchard, just because of her last name.
Right.
And so she was making waves on the independent circuit, and she was out there, and she was wrestling here in LA. And basically, the WOW team, if you will, was somewhat put together, probably 90% or 95% for Access TV. And I went to a live event, actually, to look at someone else that Santana Garrett had suggested to me. And totally by luck, like Shaw Guerrero. I didn't know her last name was Guerrero. I bump into Tessa, left elbow. She had just gotten some food. And I looked and I said, "Hi, I'm David McLean." She says, "Yeah, I'm Tessa Blanchard." And only because of Bambi pestering me for 3 years, I said, "You want to sit down while you eat and talk?" She said, "Sure, cocky." And we sat and talked, and I walked away and I told Bambi, I said, "We're going to hire that Tessa Blanchard." And she says, "Why?" I said, "I just talked to her for 20 minutes to 30 minutes. Mm. She goes, "Well, why are you going to do it now? I've been telling you." I said, "She's a great person." Mm. And I said, "Now I'll hire her." I didn't want to hire her because of her name.
Sure.
That was actually a detriment. I wanted to hire her because she had a vision for women's wrestling.
And a passion, right?
And a passion that I listened to.
Right.
And that's what got her the job, yeah. Not her name. Shaw didn't get in because she was a Guerrero.
Because of her voice. Well, last question for both of you. They're different ones. David, for you, it's twofold. One, what's your overall goal for WOW? And two, who's your favorite character from the old GLOW series?
My favorite character, I'll answer that one first. There are several. But from an athletic standpoint, I was always a flag waver for Lisa Moretti, who's played Tina Ferrari. Mm-hmm. That was I went to the mat to get her the championship, and I saw her as an all-time star. As an all-time character, my favorite was Chainsaw and Spike. They were my favorite characters.
Yeah.
And they didn't know wrestling hold from an apple on a
didn't
tree.
Know a wrist lock from a wrist lock from a wristwatch.
Yeah, exactly. But boy, when they hit the ring and they came out, the crowd was electrified. Mm. And so they were fun characters. But Lisa was always my fun. She was my vision or my ideal for what women's wrestling could become with someone that was athletic, who graduated from USC, had a marketing degree, and someone that was not what Moolah's age of the past represented for women's wrestling. Right. So that was, you know, so Lisa Moretti from that. My vision, short term, I have several goals, obviously, and I've already stated Jeannie's and mine as it surpasses us, but short term goals. I've gotten a buzz from it debuting on Access TV, where all your listeners can watch it on Friday nights at 9:00 Eastern. And the response has been great, but I'm not satisfied. My next hurdle, I think, where I'm going to be satisfied is where we see WOW merchandise available in Walmart and Target. And we have our licensing agent. We've just done 2 deals this week.
Nice.
And I'm going to a third big one right now, huge electronic games, and we know that's a $1 billion industry. And then I know that the wrestlers can make money when they sleep, because that's my goal, that they can make money.
The dream.
They can make money when they're not in the ring.
Yeah.
And you know what you've done on merchandise for you, and isn't that great? Because I come from when Dick the Bruiser was around, and Ernie Ladd and these guys, and they didn't make any money.
There was no merch, yeah.
There was none. There was for me, because I was selling it. But I want the talent to reap those rewards. That's my ultimate
goal. Thank you.
There you go. And for you, what was, Abilene, what's your favorite match that you've ever had in your long, illustrious career?
Oh, my gosh. I will say, like, and this is genuinely speaking, the one that I had with Fire for the debut show is definitely one of my favorites. I think because I was so genuinely surprised by the chemistry we had in the ring. Everyone always asks me, who's your dream opponent? Who do you want to wrestle? Who do you want to be in the ring with? And I never have an answer, because it's never who I, like, I never have the best matches of who I think I'm going to. So I'm like, no, I want luck of the draw. Like, I want to see what happens. And it ended up being one of my favorite matches, because I felt so confident in my movements in with her and I trusted her. And, you know, she's really solid the way she hits everything.
It meant a lot, too, because everyone got to see it.
Yes, exactly. I was like, oh, this is so great. I would say, though, that my overall has to be my favorite was the one in China with Tessa. And the reason for that is because whenever you make history with somebody, no one can take that away from you. If you're the first to do something, no one else can come up and be like, well, hi, I'm the first also.
That's right. You know, never take it away.
Exactly. No one can take that away from you. So it's really nice to have these things to kind of stake my claim, because I am not a second or third generation wrestler. In fact, I have no claim to wrestling other than I had a passion and I went for it. Yes.
I'm the same.
Yes. And so I have to just, you know, I have to convince my family, myself, not myself really, but, you know, my family and everyone around me that, you know, I am legitimate and I do love this and it's for a purpose. And, you know, when you have these accolades you can build up, you know, people kind of see it through your eyes. They see why you're so passionate about
Abilene, it. Abilene, you have two first.
Yes. What are they?
Your first woman wrestler to wrestle in China.
Yes.
With Tessa Blanchard. And the first woman to appear live on Access TV in WOW.
Hey, there we go.
You were the first.
Look at this, the history maker.
That's so
here.
True.
There you go. She is the governor of the universe.
As the promoter, and it's your debut,
yeah.
You put the best on first.
Hey. Wow.
There you go. Wow.
Yes, exactly. Literally. No pun intended.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right. WOW airs tonight, Friday night on Access TV at 9 p.m. Eastern. See Abilene and Tessa Blanchard and all the ladies in action. The show is getting great reviews, and we'll be back for season two, which is awesome. Thanks again to Abilene Maverick and David McClain for joining us. And thanks to all of you who have signed up for pre-booking on Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea and who have reserved your cabins early. It's been crazy. We're almost the Q&A session for the Force for our first 400 cabins sold, almost all gone. If you still might have a chance, if you go to ChrisJerichoCruise.com, sign up for the pre-sale list and get your chance to book those cabins before anybody else. A lot of them are gone. It's the response this time has been off the charts for all of the alumni who came on the first Jericho Cruise, now understanding how much fun it is. For all of you who missed out, that had FOMO for missing the first one, don't miss the second one. I'm urging you to go to ChrisJerichoCruise.com and sign up for pre-sale booking right now. Cabins go on sale to the public, general public, on March 13th. But if you want to book before that, go sign up now at ChrisJerichoCruise.com and we'll get you a private booking time. We'll have a chance. Like Thursday at 3 p.m., you can book. And you go and you book whatever cabin you want out of the ones that are left. Go to ChrisJerichoCruise.com and sign up for pre-booking now. All right. Thank you so much for listening. Coming up on Wednesday, we return to the world of the paranormal. We're talking Bigfoot with author Phil Hall. He wrote the book, the weirdest movie ever made, the Patterson-Gimlin Bigfoot film. This is the famous Patterson film that you see of the Bigfoot up close walking through the forest. Phil explores all the controversy and conspiracies around that infamous 55-second long piece of black and white film footage that supposedly proves the existence of Bigfoot. But does it? Phil's going to share what he uncovered and what he personally thinks about the existence of Sasquatch. Come every Wednesday, the weirdest movie ever made, the Patterson-Gimlin Bigfoot film, analyzed to its core. Very interesting stuff. Check that out on Wednesday. In the meantime and in between time, have a great weekend. Go back and listen to billionaire Todd Wagner. Such an influential, inspiring story. Go check out Art the Clown, Terrifier. Listen, you're looking for something you want to watch this weekend. If you love horror movies, go watch Terrifier on Netflix. It will creep the crap out of you. It did for me. Go check that out. And we'll see you on Wednesday for more creepiness with the weirdest movie ever made, the Patterson-Gimlin Bigfoot film. All right. Till then, meantime and in between time, stay hard, stay hungry. Peace, love, and hugs, and a big... yeah, boy. And don't forget to watch WOW Women of Wrestling tonight on Access TV, 9 p.m. Eastern.